a case report on hemorrhagic pleural effusion in an HIV patient with Salmonella typhimurium. The background. Infections due to non-typhoidal Salmonella has been described in patients with impaired host defenses like neoplastic diseases, transplantation cirrhosis, collagen vascular disease, renal failure requiring hemodialysis, and immunosuppressive therapy. The increased incidence of non-typhoidal salmonellosis in HIV-infected patients was originally noted in early 1980s and became an AIDS-defining complex in 1987. Disseminated and drug-resistant salmonella infections with higher mortality have started increasing with the advent of AIDS. However, pleural effusion with salmonella infection is not frequent in HIV or AIDS, where Mycobacterium tuberculosis and P. carinae are the two most common organisms responsible. S. typhimurium is a rare non-typhoidal salmonella which is isolated from hemorrhagic pleural effusion in immunocompromised patients, especially in HIV or AIDS. The case presentation. A 30-year-old male was diagnosed to have massive right-sided pleural effusion as he presented with cough, fever, exertional breathlessness and right-sided chest pain. He also had a history of chronic recurrent diarrhea for last 1 year, which was not investigated. He was started on HAART, that is lamivudin, sabudin and nevirapine, as he was HIV positive with low CD4 positive T cell count. Pleural fluid was exudative with WBC count on 400 cells per millimeter cubed, RBC 0.20 million per millimeter cubed, glucose 84 grams per deciliter, protein 6.8 grams per deciliter and LDH 866 U per ml and ADA 115 U per liter. However, there were no pus cells, malignant cells, acid-fast bacilli as well as cyst or trophozoite of P. carinae. Culture grew no bacteria including M. tuberculosis nor fungi. PCR for M. tuberculosis from blood or pleural fluid was negative. Blood, sputum and stool culture results were negative. Pleural biopsy had no evidence of malignancy or tuberculosis. MAN2 test was negative based on fever, high ASR, exudative effusion and high ADA level. He was empirically started on ATT. Prophylactic therapy was also started. He was discharged as fever subsided and improved symptomatically. He was readmitted after 2 weeks with fever, increased exertional dyspnea and right-sided chest pain. A chest X-ray showed persisting massive pleural effusion, which was massive. A repeat pleural tap revealed WBC 320 cells per millimeter cubed with lymphocytosis, RBC 7200 cells per millimeter cubed, glucose 36 grams per deciliter and protein 6.1 gram per deciliter, LDH 810 mu per ml and ADA 42 u per liter. S. typhimurium was grown in culture as confirmed by standard biochemical tests and serotyping with specific anti-sera. The isolate was sensitive to chloramphenicol, ampicillin, cotrimoxazole, ciprofloxacin and ceftriaxone by the disc diffusion method. The organism was re-isolated 3 days later with less growth. There was no evidence of mycobacterial infection in pleural tap and blood, sputum and stool had similar negative results. The patient was started treatment with oral ciprofloxacin, that is 1.5 grams per day for 14 days, along with HAART and cotrimoxazole. ATT was withdrawn. Patient improved clinically and radiologically on follow-up after 2 weeks with a little effusion left and with pleural fibrosis. Conclusions. The reported prevalence of pleural effusion among patients hospitalized with AIDS has varied markedly, though most of the studies observed prevalence closer to 2%. The distribution of disease responsible for pleural effusion in AIDS also varies from series to series. Kaposi sarcoma, aerobic and anaerobic bacterial pneumonia, tuberculosis and opportunistic infections like P. carinae are the common predisposing factors. Hemorrhagic pleural effusion with S. typhimurium is rarely encountered. Salmonella infection in HIV-positive patients have largely been limited to non-pulmonary sites, with only few case reports describing patients with cavitary infiltrates, MPMA and non-hemorrhagic pleural effusion in immunocompromised patients. This is the first documented case from India, to the best of our knowledge, where S. diffeomyum was the only opportunistic infection in the patient with very low CD4 count as isolated from hemorrhagic pleural effusion. There is no clear explanation to how salmonella produced pleural effusion in this patient. The patient in our study had negative blood cultures in two different occasions, ruling out the possibility of hematogenous dissemination, though previous episodes of Salmonella bacterium are not always a prerequisite. Aspiration of infected gastric secretions does not seem to be the source of infection, since the patient was not on antacids for a long period, which could lead to colonization of Salmonella in esophagus and stomach from the gallbladder and the upper intestinal tract. Transdiaphragmatic passage from the abdominal focus of infection could be a rare possibility, since the patient had a history of chronic recurrent diarrhea which had never been investigated previously and not been isolated after getting admitted. The nearly similar presentation of the patient with tuberculosis, a common opportunistic infection in India, and P. carinii pneumonia created initial diagnosis and treatment conundrum. Absence of acid-fast bacilli in pleural fluid or sputum does not rule out tuberculosis, since the detection rate from each of the samples is only 40-50% in AIDS. The low CD4 positive count itself decides against diagnosis of tuberculosis pleuritis, which is predominantly due to delayed type hypersensitivity rather than direct infection of pleural space. Salmonella, on the other hand, has known pathogenic mechanism of direct endovascular invasion, which is more likely to cause hemorrhagic pleural effusion. P. carinii is another unusual cause of pleural effusion, which is almost always associated with patients receiving aerosolized pentamidine. The non-corroborative microbiological, clinical and radiological presentation and relatively high protein level, that is 6.1 grams per deciliter, were helpful to rule out P. carinii infection. Drug resistance against chloramphenicol and quinolones is not uncommon in this part of the world, though not encountered in this case. The young age of the patient might also be a contributing factor for successful outcome, since mortality is high over the age of 60 years with underlying immunosuppressive disease. In conclusion, S. diffeomyum is a rare opportunistic infection in AIDS and may lead to hemorrhagic pleural effusion in young patients with CD4 count less than 100 and should be suspected with tuberculosis and P. carinii are ruled out. Early diagnosis, appropriate antimicrobial drug therapy and aggressive drainage are necessary to improve the outcome of the patients.